Well, welcome to the call. I am Pragito, and I'm very excited about the call tonight because you are right. We have got people from all over the United States and Canada and even France.
Oh, wonderful.
So we have a very international call. Yes, we've got, let's see, you've mentioned some of them. We've got Toronto, Texas, France, British Columbia, New Jersey.
I'm going to get rid of my dog.
Maryland, New York, all different parts of California.
South Carolina.
North Carolina and South Carolina, too.
Oh, who's in North
Hawaii.
Carolina? Wow.
Boston, Massachusetts. Chester.
Wow, a lot of people reading their emails,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Chester, Virginia. Oh. Utah.
Wow.
Miami.
Wow.
Naples, Florida. Is George there? Oh, he's not on yet. He's one of my protégés.
Oh.
Who else have we got? Missouri. Montana.
Wow.
Montreal. Phoenix, Arizona.
That's me.
Okay, great.
Hey, Phoenix.
Phoenix is there. Washington. That's my student, Ethel. I don't know if she's on yet. Ontario. My neighbors here in Northern California. So,
hey, Yo Yo.
Pardon?
Oh, Yo Yo, my cat, fat fried. It's my neighbor's cat, but it likes living with us.
Okay, so if you have, thank you for mentioning that. If you have.
I'm getting animals taken care of and situated here. I've got a dog that just likes to roar. I got to get rid of her.
So, if you have a doll or something that's going to make a noise, you can always press *6 to mute yourself out so that it doesn't disturb the call, okay?
Okay.
Oh, great.
Okay, I will definitely be *6 in it, folks, because I'm not messing up the meditation.
Okay, lovely.
It's nice talking to you.
Alrighty. I'll still be able to hear everything, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Okay.
*6?
Absolutely. So,
she says *6.
Pardon? *6.
My husband says, no, not *6.
Mute my
*6. Well, in a little while, I will be putting the call
in
lecture mode.
*6, I'm listening to her.
So that
okay.
We don't have any disturbances. Welcome, welcome, those of you who are coming on the call. So I'm going to get started right away.
Okay.
And I want all of you to shout out, yes, to these questions I'm going to ask you, all right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I want to hear a yes. Yes. Everybody, yes.
Yes.
Ah, that's better. All right. Do you want to eliminate pain, stress, and depression?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want the secrets to being strong, confident, and creative?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to learn how to tap directly into your intuition?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want to deepen your capacity to access your inner wisdom?
Yes. Yes.
You want to learn enlightened principles for successful relationships?
Yes.
Yes.
Revitalize your energy?
Yes.
Yes.
Tap your sense of humor at will?
Yes.
Unleash your creative fire?
Yes.
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 Okay.
I didn't, you know, yes.
That was fantastic. Good. Because this is all the benefits that you're going to get from doing the Mystic Rose meditation. This is a 21-day meditation. And the first stage is laughter, the second stage is tears, and the third stage is Watcher on the Hills. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight and doing a little bit of, too. And I want to let you know first some of the benefits and from people who have already taken this with me, some of my students and people who have experienced it. One woman says, it brought me to a state of stillness, awareness, and self-acceptance that was truly life-changing. Another person said, the Mystic Rose Meditation offers magic and miracles all in one mind-altering package, and I'm going to be talking about magic and miracles as we go through the call. Another person, what my heart and soul was yearning for, I found myself laughing and giggling as when I was a small child, and the crying meditation was deeply healing. And the third stage helped me sit and reflect, and I realized that the power of love and laughter was stronger by far than any struggle. Another person said that participating in the Mystic Rose meditation was the pinnacle of growth in terms of respect and love for myself. I reconnected with my inner joy during the first day, and the tears meditation helped me to cry out and wash away my most wounded scar. I was able to recover and heal a part of myself that had been hidden until then. And in the Watcher on the Hills, I entered into a deep, silent journey into myself and achieved a peace, calm, and power that I never knew existed. This is the magic of the Mystic Rose, because we find those places in ourselves that we didn't know were there, that actually everybody has, that we're born with, but we always think, oh, that's for other people and not for me. But the Mystic Rose, with these three magical stages it has, it's how we reveal, is revealed to each one of us what is possible within us. Another student said it was an opportunity for opening emotionally, as well as freeing up a lot of energy that I was spending on containing these unexpressed emotions. Because when we repress emotions, that takes up a lot of energy and actually adds to our stress and tension. But when we can free those emotions up, as we do in the first two stages, then suddenly we have all this extra energy, which can go into creativity and joy and fun and play. Yeah. After the laughter meditation, she says, I actually felt lighter when I left that day. And with the crying, I was able to allow deep healing and find inner strength and confidence. Because it does, it gives you a much deeper self-confidence and inner strength. Because it's like clearing out inner clutter. And then from within, we have this peace and calm, and then this confidence comes and this strength. And she says, I found much more self-trust and inner peace. My relationships and sex life are greatly enhanced. Because the laughter meditation is fantastic for all relationships and for opening up sexually. The laughter is like an aphrodisiac. You know, it's very sexy. It's a very attractive energy. So everything becomes better. So, and another student of mine, she'd actually just lost her husband, and she says, I was devastated by the death of a loved one. And the laughter and tears meditation opened my heart and allowed me to accept the negative emotions I had been avoiding. Now I'm healing and re-experiencing youthful spontaneity and joy I thought I had lost forever. What a priceless experience. So this person, even though they had just had a devastating loss, it was actually perfect timing for her. She was able to do a lot of deep healing, and it helped her come to an acceptance and still find joy, and even through her healing. So there's many levels, there's many types of experiences, and there's many, many benefits. So that's just a little of the benefits that people have experienced. Now, I'm going to now put the call into lecture mode, which means that you can still hear me, but you will hear me a lot more clearly, and there won't be any interference on the line. And then towards the end of the call, I will reopen it up so that you can ask any questions, so you can be writing down any questions you might want to ask. Have a pad and a pen handy, because you might want to make notes about particular things. And I'll open the lines up so that we can talk about that. I'm also going to be making you a very special offer, everyone who's on the call. And so stay on the call till the end, because there's something very special I'm going to be offering all of you, because I like to reward effort. And you've all made an effort to be on the call this evening, so there's a big reward for you in store there. So I'm now going to mute you out and put the call in lecture mode. Okay, so I'm going to start with just saying a little bit about the Mystic Rose meditation. It was created in 1988 by Osho, and the idea of this meditation, which is unique in the whole history of the world, there's never been such a meditation created before, and it is the second in a series of meditation therapies which was created by Osho. And it is one of the most powerful and simple forms of meditation ever devised. And by many, it is considered the greatest revolution in meditation since the Vipassana was developed by the Buddha 25 centuries ago. The Vipassana is the Indian word for what many call mindfulness, the technique that's just sitting in silence and witnessing the mind. So because many of us have lost the capacity to sit in silence, these techniques were developed to work as a bridge to clear the ground for deeper meditation. They're perfect for handling the pressures of our 21st century lifestyle because they were designed to release us from years of repressed emotions, physical tension, and old mental ideas and beliefs that no longer work for us. The first stage of laughter opens up our hearts, our joy, the very love of life that we are all born with. The second stage, tears, releases and heals old wounds and brings deep relaxation and renewal. And the third stage, Watcher on the Hills, integrates the benefits of the first two stages. It allows us to drop deep down into our inner core of peace, love, and wisdom. And the Mystic Rose Meditation is a great technique for both new and experienced meditators. Anybody can do this. You don't have to have any experience whatsoever. You don't need to have a PhD or any kind of qualifications whatsoever. The only thing I ask people when they want to sign up to do it is, do you want to do it? And if the answer is yes, that's enough. Okay? So no experience necessary. No experience with meditation is necessary, simply that it's something that you want to do. And then it's going to work for you perfectly. Now, the full Mystic Rose meditation is 21 days, 3 weeks. The first week is for laughter, and it is 3 hours each day for the first 7 days. And this is a very unique and cutting-edge format because usually we're used to meditations being an hour or 30 minutes, or maybe you go to a 2 or a 3 day workshop. But this is a very, very special meditation, the Mystic Rose, because it works on us on so many levels that by the time you've finished it, you are completely transformed and you have the whole energy of the group to carry you so that it is much easier to get the transformation and get the results you want and the benefits you want than certainly if you were doing it on your own and certainly if you were doing any kind of shortened version. So it's 3 hours. Why is it 3 hours? Because it can take us, see, we're all born full of laughter, all babies, as you know. Babies can just laugh and laugh and laugh, and little children can too. But as we start to grow up, the laughter is repressed, and certainly it was for me in my childhood. Stop that laughter, that's too much laughter, you can't laugh here, you can't laugh there, and we start to shut it down. And then when we become adults, you know, adults are very serious. They just, it's like we forgot about our capacity to laugh. It's not that it's gone, it's still there, but it's just got shut down. You know, like in a room when you fill it up with clutter. I mean, the beautiful room is still there. It's just full of clutter, so you can't see how beautiful it is, yes? So the reason we need the 3 hours, I know it sounds crazy at first when you first hear about it, because that's what I thought too, but then once you jump in and get going, it's amazing. Because it helps us cut through quicker, because the idea of these expressive meditation techniques is to cut through quickly all of the clutter that is in the way and all the dam we have built. And then the force of doing so much laughter, it breaks the dam. And then over the course of that first week, it frees up our natural laughter so that you are once again able to laugh spontaneously. Your sense of humor is just there readily. You're much lighter. And that's certainly what's happened to me. I mean, I've done this so many times, I've lost count, actually. So I am speaking from personal experience, and then, of course, you've already heard the testimonies of some of the students who've already taken this, too. Everybody who does it gets these kind of amazing benefits. And so in that, and then the second week is exactly the same format, 3 hours each day, but it's for tears. And that's when we go to the opposite energy, because laughter and tears are two sides of the same energy. You know, life is a comedy, life is a tragedy. And when we're laughing, you know, laughter is important, but we can't pretend that life's all fun and joy, because we all know it isn't. That sometimes, you know, sad things happen. And we have grief, and we have pain, and we have sadness. And we need to find a way to face that and heal that. It's just as important as laughing a lot and having fun and joy. Yes, because otherwise those wounds and that grief, if we just repress it, it just sits there and festers. It doesn't go away. So this meditation offers that possibility to address the comedy of life, the laughter, and then the tragedy of life, the tears. And then in the third stage, which is also 3 hours a day for the last week, is where we sit in silence, and that's intermittent with some soft dancing to make it more fun, is when we just sit and integrate and ground and allow all the expression we've gone through from the last 2 weeks and all the shifts and all the changes, and allow them to integrate so that we find that place in the center, that place of wisdom and inner silence, from which is the best place to make decisions and guide our lives, but we can do it from our own inner wisdom. And we also can encompass, because we've spent time over here in the laughter at one end of the spectrum, and then we've spent time on the other end of the pendulum in the tears and the grief and the sadness. And then we come to that place in the middle where we understand in our wisdom that life encompasses both comedy and tragedy, and that we can learn to be in the one or in the other depending on what is happening or what is happening with our friends, and live in that place of wisdom, because wisdom understands that life contains both. And so it's expression, not repression. And in this meditation, we can express without fear of, you know, oh, I'm never going to stop crying, or I'm never going to stop laughing, or, you know, with some guidance, because, well, I'm there leading the meditation, and also, you know, there's everybody else in the group on the same journey together. And it's when we have people on that same journey together with us, as we are all on this call today from all these different corners of North America and Europe, that we find that communion, we find that support, and then it's easier. So it just makes the journey easier. So that's the formatting of the Mystic Rose. And now I'm going to talk about the first stage, which is the laughter. And when I finish talking about the laughter, I'm going to open up the line so we can actually do some laughter together. So get ready. But first of all, I want to talk about it because, you know, it wasn't until I wrote my first book that I just didn't realize how many benefits laughter had. It's just phenomenal. Laughter is very good for the physical body. It stimulates physical healing. And this has now been proven scientifically, and in many, many medical journals are showing that the energy of laughter and smiles and positivity and chuckles and giggles, it helps the body release tensions, and so it helps keep us in good health. Laughter enhances our creativity, which is one of the major benefits of this meditation, because as our energetic systems are opened up through the laughter, we get flooded with more and more creative energy. This is what I find at the end of the Mystic Rose in the third stage. I just get flooded with ideas. And you know, if you stop, sometimes I ask people at the beginning to write down all their problems, and at the end, all the problems have disappeared. Because either that you see it's not a problem anymore, or the solution has arisen. Because your creativity is right there. And laughter is regenerating and rejuvenating, and it keeps us young. I think it's the best anti-aging method ever. Because when we laugh and smile, we loosen up. And the face is the place in our body that collects the most stress. So the more laughter we do, it helps the face relax. And it also shines out through our eyes. You know, and somehow, and I know you all know this because you see, when people are laughing, they just seem ageless, don't they? It's like, you know, you can be laughing with your kids and people of all different ages all laughing together, and suddenly, who cares what age anybody is? Who cares what color their skin is, or what religion they are, or what their sexual orientation is? It doesn't matter. Nobody cares because we're all joined together in the commonality of the laughter. And laughter's sexy, as I was just saying. It's a very attractive energy vibration, and it can help bring people to you who are good for you. It's very beneficial if anyone is sexually blocked, because it releases inhibitions, it opens up the energetic channels, and brings us more directly in touch with our energy. And many people have improved sexual responsiveness after doing the Mystic Rose. It's a very good thing for couples to do together. Laughter also is a great thing for healing fear and tensions, and helping tensions release from the body, because you can't be worried and laughing at the same time, you know. You just think about that. You just can't. Because the laughter somehow washes away the fears, washes away the tensions, and then you feel, oh, I could do that, or I can speak to that person, or I can go here, or I can go there. It fills us with courage and with trust. And laughter opens the heart. Laughter creates such an opening to love, to compassion, to intuitive wisdom, and it's a vibration, and then it helps us attract more love to us. And laughter also gives us a glimpse of freedom from the mind, you know, when the mind can really start and keep clamping and just going on and on and on. And laughter is a great way to get free from worry, from tensions, from the fear, so that we can just, in those seconds when we're totally laughing, the mind isn't there and we're just there. And we can get a taste of, we can get an experience of total joy and total relaxation and totally being in the present. So it's unbelievable, isn't it, how many benefits there are to laughter, is this dimension of play. And this is something else we do when we do the Mystic Rose meditation. It's very much about play. Because when we were children, you know, we could play. But as adults, we become very serious. And we don't have that playfulness. And play revitalizes us. And it's a very important part of our lifestyle. And it's a great way to help us re-find our inner peace and inner joy. Because through play, we can relearn to remain true to the moment, being in the present moment. Because when we're having fun, our life energy is activated. And if we're doing things that are fun, we're totally present. We're totally there. We're totally filled with enthusiasm, and we feel expanded and courageous and great. And so fun and play are very, very important. Now, you know, some people might say that being playful means being irresponsible. But while we avoid responsibility when it's connected with a duty or a burden, we naturally feel responsible for what we initiated through our creative participation. Fun doesn't have to be something we do outside our work time. Fun can fuel our work and unleash our creativity. So, through the laughter and through in the Mystic Rose meditation and through practicing the laughter meditation, it helps reawaken our qualities of innocence, of wonder, of spontaneity, of imagination, of authenticity, and creativity, and we become more inspired and self-confident. And we can learn to play without learning to understand about experiencing love and friendship rather than getting into competition and, you know, getting worrying about failure, which is why a lot of people don't want to do things because they're afraid they're going to fail. But you can learn how to play in such a way that no one loses and we can all experience love and friendship. So let us now, I'm going to open up the lines. Hello, everybody.
Hi,
Carol.
All right, so we're just going to do now a few minutes of laughter meditation, and then I'm going to put the lecture mode again, and I'll talk about the tears. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let me hear that louder.
Yeah.
All right, that's better. Okay, now we're going to start with shouting Yahoo three times. So let me hear a loud Yahoo.
Yahoo!
Great. So what we're going to do is we're going to do three Yahoos together, and I'll count one, two, three, and then we'll go Yahoo, Yahoo, Yahoo. Okay?
Yes.
And I want you to really shout it out, and we're just going to burst out laughing. Okay? And we'll just laugh, just for a minute or two, just to get a sense of it. Is everybody up for that?
Yeah.
All right, good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, just take a moment now and just go inside, and you can just close your eyes for a moment. And just notice how you feel inside. What's happened inside of you with that laughter? We just sit there for like a minute or something. But just notice how you feel inside. And from listening to me talk about laughter and joy and play and fun and creativity and all those good things and all the wonderful benefits, just notice how you feel. Because also, this is very, very much in alignment with the law of attraction, which I'm sure you all know a lot about, the law of attraction from the book The Secret, yes? Mm-hmm. And this is a way we can activate the law of attraction by the laughter meditation, because it puts us into a feeling state of positivity, which helps us attract good things. All right. So I'm now going to put it back on lecture mode, and we'll talk about the tears. All right. So the second stage of the Mystic Rose meditation is the tears, the crying. And we do the laughter first because it's easier to laugh. And the laughter helps us open up so that we can go deeper in the second stage into the tears. And the idea of the crying meditation, it's not necessarily that you have to have tears streaming down your face all the time, because we can't force tears. We can force laughter, actually, to get it going. But we can't force tears. We have to allow. We have to simply relax and allow and see if the tears are going to come or not. And sometimes they will come and sometimes they won't. And either way, it's okay. Because ultimately what we're doing here is simply going deeper inside, and we're allowing our feelings to be there, whatever they are. What I'm talking about, the more uncomfortable feelings here, because this is the stage, this is the part where a lot of people, they just don't want to go there. Well, and who blames them? You know, it's uncomfortable feelings. But when we do it together, when we do it in the group, it is, makes it much easier because everybody has usually some kind of grief, some kind of wound to heal from their life, some kind of sadness. And so it's like we're all in the same boat together. And through the energy we've created from doing the laughter first, it's built a deep communal feeling, a deep connection. And so a trust is created and a courage to then continue to go deeper and relax deeper and deeper inside of ourselves. And I play sad music, and if you want to do this on your own at home, you just find some kind of sad music, whether it's like Mozart's Requiem or whether it's some pop song about love lost or some Eastern dirge. I mean, there's, it's not miserable music. It's music that evokes, it's actually very beautiful because what you learn, this is what I've learned from doing this many, many times, is that a tremendous beauty in grief. And the beauty in it is it takes us deeper. It takes us deeper into compassion for ourselves and compassion for others because everybody on this planet has, you know, has to face pain or grief or sadness to greater or lesser extent in their lives. Some fortunate people to a very little extent, some people to a great extent. But it gives us that capacity. And a major key here is acceptance, because one of the things that we do with the uncomfortable emotions is we fight them. We don't want them to be there. And by fighting them, by trying to repress them, we're actually making it worse. The easiest way to deal with them is actually to accept them and to face them. Because when we fight them, we're creating an extra layer of psychological pain through the fight. So we're making it way worse. But when we decide, okay, I'm going to accept this, and I'm simply going to allow it and let it be there, then the magic happens. I told you there was magic in this. There's magic, and there is a tremendous possibility for transformation of these uncomfortable emotions, especially when we're doing all this together. Because we have the group energy, which makes the healing more powerful and allows us to go deeper in a more powerful way than if we're trying to do this on our own. So, as we allow, we might cry, we might not cry, but we're always staying present. So we learn to stay present with our feelings and accept them. And this is the major key to the healing, acceptance. And being present with them. We learn to understand ourselves on a much deeper level so that all wounds can be healed. And then this opens the way for the third week, for the dropping down into our inner silence and for the integration. The crying week is also very good for anti-aging because people's appearance literally transforms during this. I know mine did, because when we're trying to repress our uncomfortable emotions, it creates a tremendous tension, and tension always shows in the face. But as we relax, and as all this tension is released, and as we simply allow the feelings, and when you stop doing that, you realize it's really quite easy. It's just a fear of it. But when you actually do it, it's actually quite easy to do. And then all that tension disappears from the face and the neck and the shoulders, and people are literally transformed in front of our eyes, and everybody can see it, especially in the eyes. The eyes become very, very glowing and sparkling, and they transmit an incredible light. But it also shows in the face and the posture and everything, and this helps with our joy. So laughter and tears are very connected. You know, in nature, when it's sunny and it rains at the same time, this creates a rainbow, yeah? And the laughter and tears, it does has a rainbow effect upon us because we're releasing so much emotional tension. Because, you know, often when we're in a tense situation in life, we might suddenly burst out laughing and we might equally just burst into tears because they're both releases of tension. And so when we consciously and purposefully by signing up for this workshop choose to do this, then we are going to release so many layers of tensions that everything in our life becomes more like a rainbow. You know, everything lightens up so that even if we do have sadness and tears, we always know that the laughter is just the other side, and we know that this creates a rainbow effect for us in our lives. And at the end of it, you feel cleansed and opened and deeply relaxed. We have a lot more self-confidence, and we've learned about the three dimensions of tears, which I talk about. The first dimension of tears is that of pain and suffering, misery and sadness. The second dimension of tears is that they can be a product of joy and ecstatic happiness, you know, crying out of joy. And the third dimension, and this is for people like all of you who are willing to go deeper and take this as a meditation. The third dimension comes to people and it shows that tears can also simply be of gratitude. Gratitude that we live in this beautiful universe and that truly we have wonderful lives, because once we understand how to be positive about every aspect of our lives, even the tears part, because there is a positive aspect to it, then we are filled with this immense gratitude and gratefulness to the universe, which can produce tears. So another benefit is that we learn to understand the deeper dimensions of tears. We understand the beauty of grief and how grief can take us deeper into ourselves. Like, laughter is more superficial, but grief always takes us deeper, which is why it's the second stage. And it helps to cleanse our hearts and minds. It helps bring us a deep acceptance of ourselves as we learn to befriend our emotions. We learn to understand that tears can be irrational, and that's okay. They're never rational, really, and they can often come at unexpected times. So we have to learn to not always be trying to control, but to allow. And also that tears are the language of the heart, because tears express the inexpressible. And whenever our innermost cup of emotion becomes too full, whether it's of happiness or of unhappiness, it overflows of tears. And just as thoughts are the language of the mind, tears are the language of the heart. So if the heart has become frozen, the tears are the beginning of the thaw. And the more we allow tears, the more the heart is melting. And when the tears are coming like a flood, we need to learn not to judge them, because with their coming, our heart starts functioning again. It starts getting warm. It becomes alive. And as we thaw the garden of our heart, love begins to grow like a flower. So tears are also like prayer. They cleanse our spiritual vision. And we should never try and interpret or analyze our tears, because words would always be inadequate. And if we can allow our tears totally in our grief and our sadness and our feelings, we become one with ourselves and one with our heart. Our heart helps our heart heal and open. And then our life becomes filled with love. So laughter and tears, the rainbow effect. Yes? And then this leads us into the third stage, the watcher on the hills, which is sitting in silence and watching or witnessing the mind. And this is the opportunity to integrate all this expression and emotional release and open up a space for silence and peace and spiritual nurturing. So this is where the ideas and the solutions will probably arise. And we learn to get a distance from the chattering mind. We learn about relaxed alertness and practicing disidentification from the mind, so that we can be more in touch with our inner wisdom, with our feelings, with our body. And it helps us to drop deeper down inside and find that inner peace and that inner wisdom and that inner stillness, which serves us as a guide through our lives so that we can always find there and listen to ourselves, our intuition, and our inner guidance, which is the best place, and the, really our best friend is within ourselves. And it is in this third week, the last third stage, that we learn the magic and the secret of the mystic rose, which is the ability to turn lead into gold. The unique quality of anybody doing the mystic rose is their ability to manifest what they truly want in the world. So through these three specific steps to finding your authentic self and realizing your creativity and your true potential in real world terms. I mean, I'm talking about work, I'm talking about money, I'm talking about relationships. This is all real world stuff. It's not just some, you know, it's not just talk. It directly affects your life on a day-to-day basis. It directly affects your relationships, your finances, your work, and every aspect of your life, because you learn how to practice this, and it's like a secret science. And you never forget these skills because they have become embedded into your subconscious. And there's just no way you're going to forget them.